Okay, good evening, everyone. So tonight, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to switch topics. And we'll switch topics for the next few weeks. We will be learning the halachas of ribbis. I figured once we mention the halachas of Sheichad, the achronim compare it to Hilchas Ribbis, at least in one regard. And the truth is that Daf Yomi will be up to it in a few weeks. And you'll see, in 2 weeks, you go through all the halachas of ribbis in Perek Ezen Eshech. So it's a good time to pause on Hilchos Dayanim. I think I'll do that separately, because many of the rest of the halachas between now and wherever we're up to, Simen Tes through Simen Chav Ches, very technical, it's not necessarily applicable to most people. Maybe I'll do that on the side. But for this year, we will, Be'ez Hashem, be learning Hilchos Ribbis. So, as with many parts of Choshe Mishpat, or Dinei Mamonos specifically, it's challenging to apply what we see in Gemara to everyday commerce, especially when things change from the way finances are dealt with, the way people view money. So that challenge is definitely felt in Hilchos Ribbis when you try to plug in the commerce of Ezehu Neshech in the times of the Tanoim and Amaram to today's lending and cash advance, all the different things that we see in our commerce. So that's the challenge, but I think Be'ez Hashem will be able to go through many of the yesoides and practical cases of Hilchos Ribbis. So tonight we'll learn the basic sugya and give an overview / introduction to Hilchos Ribbis. So it's interesting to note that Hilchos Ribbis is not found in Choshe Mishpat, it's found in Yaradea. So many learn from here that Hilchos Ribbis is not a Choshe Mishpat din. It's not a din of regular dini mamonos. The haraya, the biggest proof is, even if you have two sides that agree, everyone agrees. We'll borrow money with interest payments. The halacha is it's aser, that one is not allowed to, that loan cannot take place. It's not in the realm of bein odom l'chaveri type of sin, at least I'll be pashtos. It's more of a yoredeya din, like iser v'heter, even if they both agree, one is not allowed to do that. But we'll see that one could argue and say it's still a Choshe Mishpat din. There could be a nafkamina lahalacha. We spoke about this briefly in Hilchos Sheichad regarding returning the money. So we'll see the important machlekes in regards to what's the chiyuv of returning ribbis that was collected. Is Bezdin Moitzi Miyadov? So we'll learn that halacha as well. So there are those that say it is a Yaradeya din, and those that say, no, it's more of a Choshe Mishpat din. If you look at the Torah is the one that set it up, because if you look in Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch is simply following the order of the Torah. The Torah wrote the Sefer Arba Turim, and the Shulchan Aruch wrote a Pirish, the Beis Yosef, on the Arba Turim. That became the Shulchan, that his cliff notes are Shulchan Aruch. So if you look in the Torah, he explains why he brought Hilchos Ribbis in Yaradeya. Simon Kuf Nuns deal with the Halachas of Avodah Zarah, which lead to the halachas between a yid and a nachri, a yid and a guy. And then in Simon Kufnun Tes, which in the Torah's way, in his title, he doesn't call it Hilchos Ribbis. He talks about giving ribbis to a guy, so he's still in Hilchos Akum. Then Kuf Samach, he says, Hoyol v'asal yadon, once I already mentioned ribbis, name of a milsa, I'll say something. The something ends up being 18 simanim. But that's what he says. So one could argue that it's not necessarily a Choshe Mishpat, a Yaradeya din. It just happens that the Torah happened to have put it here. But it's an interesting idea to think about. Okay. So the Rambam, when he brings this down, he says that when someone lends money to another Yid and he charges interest on it, he could be over many lavin, and we'll just list them out here. He says, this is in Hilchos Malva Veloiva Peritalid. He's over al Shisha Lavin, six Lavin, six Isurim. Number one, Lesi Eloi Kenoisha. You shouldn't be biting to him. The Gemara, right in the beginning of Ezer Neshach, describes what the word Noisha means. You're biting. It can hurt someone. As Kaspecho Lesitin Le Beneshach. That's number two. Uve Marbis Lesitin Achlecha. Even if it's a food item, even if it's a monetary equivalent, it's not actual currency, there is still an Isser of Ribbis. We'll discuss the classic Shaila, if someone borrows a bag of sugar from you, and then they pay you back with a bigger bag, is that a problem of Ribbis? A Pipashtus, in a simple way, yes. They borrowed 3 pounds, and they returned 5 pounds. That's Ribbis. Al tikach me'itoy neshech v'tarbis. Another Pasuk. Then is the Pasuk. The fifth one is, l'sesimun alov neshech. You shouldn't place interest, neshech, a biting fee on him. And number six, v'lifnei iver l'sitei mechshol, that because there's an iser on the lender and on the borrower, so the lender, by lending the money to the borrower, he is violating the iser of l'fnei iver l'sitei mechshol. Those are six lavin. If you look in the Ramban, maybe he adds a seventh one, which we won't get into right now. So potentially six isurim can be violated when a person lends money to another yid and he charges him ribbis. The loiver, the borrower, is oiver b'shnayim, two isurim, le'sashich le'chicha, meaning you shouldn't pay back ribbis. And of course, v'lefnei iver le'sitei mechshol, by him paying the lender, so the borrower himself is also oiver. Arev, the guarantor, if you simply guarantee the loan, or the edim, some, the shach includes the soifer, which could include a lawyer. There's an iser of loisa simon. The poskim are bothered, why is no iser lifnei iver? So we will discuss. We learned this several times. Lifnei iver only applies if there was no one else that could have done this for them. Let's say you're the only lawyer that can put together such a contract, and it's a contract that has, for example, a penalty clause. Let's assume a penalty clause that has interest payments on it is considered ribbis katsutza, ribbis deraisa. We will discuss that later on. So the lawyer would also be oivre loisa simon alav neshach. Then the mechaber, then the Rambam concludes, v'chomisha hayah sarsur bein shneim, someone who was the broker, that's what a sarsur is, oisha siya echel mehen oyahayrahay, oivre mishum lifnei iver loisitei mechsha. If you helped, you assisted, you aided and abetted this loan, he's also oiver the iser lifnei iver loisitei mechsha, which would mean, let's say someone is a mortgage broker, and he puts together the loan between Reuven and a Jewish-owned bank. We'll get to the halachas of Jewish-owned banks and corporations and credit unions, but let's say there would be a problem. So the broker would be oiver the iser of lifnei iver l'sitei mechshol. That's the Rambam saying that the sarsur would also be oiver this iser.
Okay. Why are these, the lawyer, the agent, doesn't sound like they had anything to do with this?
Well,
for you, I understand.
So, so simon alav means you placed. We'll have to learn it in a little more on a deeper level, but on a simple level, just an introduction. Like, so simon sounds like you're placing the loan. You were involved in placing the loan.
Someone else. Isn't it like you can't have two people? Could two people murder somebody? It's like two people. One of them is doing this, and one of them is taking ribbis, one of them is giving ribbis.
So we have to learn, what does leisa simon mean? Leisa simon means there's an iser even in a situation where ribbis wasn't paid. The fact that they set up a loan that involves an agreement to pay ribbis, at that point there's an iser of leisa simon. Let's say someone signs.
Well, I understand, but why are you saying the, I understand the iser of Mayiver. Or however you want to say it. How do you have an iser? When do you have such a thing where a guy sells the knife to the ritzayah? Do you have an iser?
So usually no. Usually in halacha no. The question is, what does the Torah mean? The Torah says, "Leisa simon alav neshech." What is the Torah adding by saying there's another iser of leisa simon alav neshech? Don't place a neshech on
it.
But he already has an iser. He has an iser of other halachas that he can't charge in ribbis. So the way the Gemara tells, we'll see this before the Gemara. The Gemara says later on in Ezer Neshech, the Gemara says it means anyone who was involved in the loan placement in the lending world. That's the terminology they use. They placed a loan, right? You placed it. That's leisa simon alav neshech, by placing the loan, by being involved in the closing and the transaction. Anyone involved is oiver leisa simon alav neshech. They placed the loan. They placed it, and that is included in the iser. Okay, so that's the Rambam. He brings, again, six lavin for the malva. The loive, potentially two lavin. And the arev, the edim, and the sarsur, we'll have to see. Now, very often, not all isurim will apply. We'll see, the obvious exception would be, very often there's other people that would do this. A nachri would lend. So by a yid lending, he probably wouldn't be oiver lifnei iver. The borrower is going to be doing. I'm sorry, not that in that case. You have a nachri would have been able to do the to sign the loan, to be the arev, to be the lawyer. So perhaps there wouldn't be lefniver, there'd be other yisurim of misaya, as we've seen several times already in our shirim. Okay, when we go to the Torah, in right here in the beginning, just get the maramaker. When the Torah brings it down in Siman Kuf Samach, he says, "Ma'id ma'id sarach adam lizar be'isaribis." A person has to be extremely careful in isaribis. Now, this might sound familiar to you because we saw this in Siman Tes in Chayshim Mishpat, where the Torah said, "Ma'id ma'id," a person should be careful in regards to the halachas of Sheichad when it comes to accepting a bribe. There's a ma'id ma'id sarach adam lizar. So many of the Achronim ask why specifically in this situation where the Torah tells us ma'id ma'id sarach adam lizar. So the Bach said, he said the same thing in Hilchos Shaychad in Chayshim Mishpat, that because even a pruta would violate the Isser, if a dayan accepts a pruta, 25 cents of Shaychad, he's over. So if a person, the lender, takes the smallest amount, $1, of interest, that would also be an Isser. So ma'id ma'id, a person should be careful. Others say, if you look at the Torah has in a few other places where he says this. One of them is in, the famous one is by Arias. The Torah writes that a person should be extremely careful. This is in Evan Ezer, Siman Chaf Aleph. So he says, because it's a Teva Ha'odom, this is the Sma, that Teva Ha'odom is Limshech Achar, to be Moshech after his Taivas. So that would include where he says it by Arias. And over here, when it comes to Mammon, by Ribbis and by Sheikhad, there's another place, interesting, Ma'ar Malkim, in Shin Lamed Vav, in the beginning of Hilchos Bigur Cholim, when it comes to Refuah, the Torah also says, Ma'id Ma'id. So over there, I would assume that's because of the Chomer Ha'isser, that if a person is not careful with end-of-life situations, there could be Ritzicha. So perhaps that's why he says Ma'id Ma'id. Most classic Ma'amar Chazal is Ma'id Ma'id Havi Shval Ruach. Right? A person should be humble. Should be not be haughty. Okay, so the Torah writes in the beginning, as we see, there's six lavin. It's a serious iser, and the Gemara right in the beginning, Ezer Neshech, brings down the klalos that a person is going to. Many psukim in Tehillim talk about the klalos that happen to a person who charges people interest, and he's not doing the ratzon of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We will see as we get into some of the halachas that there is a mitzvah to lend without ribbis. There's a mitzvah, there's a pasukim kesef talves ami. The Chofetz Chaim and the Sefer Havas Chesed points out this is a tremendous mitzvah, perhaps even the greatest mitzvah of tzedakah is to be able to put together a gemach, a free loan society to help people in situations, whether it's in business or in personal finances, to be able to allow people to cash flow, to move on, so to give them an interest-free loan. And there's a mitzvah saseh in kesef talves ami. And on the flip side, if a person doesn't do that, so number one, on a simple level, he was mavato, the mitzvah saseh, of him kesef talves ami, because now he's not lending it without interest, so it's not really tzedakah, it's not a mitzvah, he's making money. He's making his 10%. And he also is running into a shiloh. He could have potentially six isurim, six lavin, when lending with ribbis. So some ask, is there a, let's say you have a situation where Reuven needs money, he goes around, nobody's willing to lend, or the interest rate he's getting from the bank, let's call it, is a 7%. So his in-laws or his cousins say, you know what, I'll give you a better rate. I'll give you a 4% mortgage. Now we'll discuss how you could set it up. It's Rav Moshe has a tshuva on this, how to set up a mortgage, a private mortgage, basically. What you do is, we're skipping ahead, but you have the principal payment goes for paying the house, and the interest payment is paying rent. So they're paying the house and they're paying rent. That's the way to set up you just put together a shtar, as long as everybody understands that's the way the amortization is working. Very good. So how the amortization is working, instead of it being interest, you should write a shtar and say, instead of it being interest payment, it's rent. Many ask, so I don't understand. At the end of the 30-year term, most of the principal is paid off. So what, you're paying, I'm sorry, most of the, there's very little interest in the last, the final payments. So he says, or I think this is what they say, B'shem Rav Moshe, that it makes sense because you're paying rent for the part of the house that you don't own. So as the amortization schedule, you know, proceeds down the line, so year 28, year 29, you own 90% of the house. So how much rent do you have to pay already? $200 a month, $300 a month. So that's the only part of the payment that's rent. And this shaila has come up in the past few years. Several people have approached me to do this. Some did close on their house with it, some didn't. But they had... if there's some real estate. Otherwise,
I can't pay rent for buying a cleaner, right? No real estate.
You're paying for the business. I'm paying for the business and I'm paying for the operations. You can figure out how to do that. It just has to make sense.
What did they say about franchise fees? So that's not ribbis, right? Franchise fees.
It's not ribbis, no.
Letting me use the business. So it's the same idea. So much of business costs.
So let's say someone did a seller financing. That would be the question. If a seller is selling his business, he has a service business, and he's doing seller financing.
No real estate.
Right, but you could say the value of the business. So he's slowly purchasing the business, and he's paying rent on the rights to use the name. So that's the principal and interest. It has to make sense. I'm not thinking straight, but I'm not thinking it clearly here. But it would have to make sense that is something that is that you could charge for. Yeah, or just, depending on the case. If there's
people buy a 800 number for a month or whatever, they buy it you can tell sales those numbers. So
right.
You don't always keep it. You buy it for a certain amount of time.
So you're renting it. You're renting it. Where's the loan?
No, so I'm saying when you do a whole business like that, you could also say I'm renting you the business for a while.
It could be set up, and I think so. I think it would work. Let's have a case and we could go through if it makes sense. It has to make sense, first of all, from a Maris Ayin standpoint, it has to make sense, but also in Halacha, it has to be some type of arrangement where you are paying for two different things that, right over here, people pay for rent and people pay for the property value. Okay, so the Shaila's asked, if I put together a Heter Iska and I charge the borrower, we'll call it 5%, will be very nice, 5% interest, was a mekayim a mitzvah. So let's assume he followed the halachas of heter iska, so he made it into an iska. Is there still a mitzvah being done, performed, of him kesef talves ami? Is there still a mitzvah? So really the truth is it's not a good question, because if it's truly a heter iska, so there's no halacha of heter iska. The halacha is iska. Iska means a business. We'll have to go through this properly in a several shiurim, how to set up a Heter Iska, what does an Iska entail? How does it work? How does it avoid the Isra of Ribbis? But in short, you set it up as a business. You set it up as a business that there's profit sharing. Profit sharing has to be done when things are calculated, and if someone has, if the investor doesn't believe in things, he could require a Shvua, and they settle for less. That's really what the Heter Iska is. We'll get to more details later. But in that case, it's not a loan. There's no loan, Pashtus, there's no loan. And therefore, it's hard to say you're yoyt to the mitzvah of Kesef Talvez Ami.
The house, what you mentioned, would be a mitzvah.
The house...
There's a loan and there's a rent.
He's right. So
it has to be, because if it's not, you have a problem.
He's lending him the house. He's lending him the house. But he's not. He's not lending him the house. What's he doing?
He lent the money, and as he's going along, he's buying parts of the house. So he should really.
He didn't lend him anything.
He gave $1 million to buy the house.
No, he didn't. No, the Shver bought the house. The Shver owns the house. That's how they set up. The Shver owns the house, right? Shver buys the house for $1 million, okay? Cash. There was a bidding war, he paid for it in cash. He tells his son-in-law, okay, so send me monthly payments. They go online, a loan calculator, 30 amortization.
But he didn't give him that.
There's no loan. You're paying for the house over 30 years. How you let him live in there? So now, you're right? So you're paying rent. That's what it is. There's no loan there. Okay, now, it could be there's another mitzvah he's being mekuyim here. If it's for business, so we learned in Hilchos Tzedakah that to help someone in business is a fulfillment of tzedakah. So it could be, there would be some fulfillment of a mitzvah if you are indeed helping him out. But very often, it's not worth this Suffik mitzvah, if a person is able to help someone out without charging interest, so then he has an opportunity to mekayim mitzvah sase. The one situation where I've seen it come up is when you have what we'll call trust fund babies who don't necessarily have the cash, but they have trust funds that they can borrow against, and they have to pay interest on it. So years ago it was nothing, but now it could be 7-8% just on their own line of credit. So they have access to money. They're very happy to lend out $1 million, but they themselves have to pay 8% to their fund. Now, for that borrower to pay that for them, that's still a problem. We'll see. That's already, there's a lot of, it doesn't help. So, but they want to say, hey, I'm saving you. You were paying 12% to get an SBA loan for your business. I'll give you an 8%. So I don't know if it's mamash a mitzvah in case of Tavis Ami. It is helpful, and the person has no other way of getting it. So one could argue it would work in the realm of Hilchos Tzedakah. I don't think it's called in Kesef Talves Ami because it's not a loan, but it would work.
It's a chesed.
It's a chesed. It's regular general chesed. If itaka is a chesed, if you're simply just trying to make money on someone else's problem, so then we could ignore the word chesed and we would say, okay, you're in business. So if you're trying to make money, no problem. There are ways to make money. There's a halacha called heter iska. He set it up properly. There's a way to do it, but there's a way to lend without. One should keep in mind that there's a tremendous mitzvah, and you're being mekayim the mitzvah of in kesef talves ami. Okay, so let's move on. We will go in order of Shulchan Aruch, except for this week. Shulchan Aruch begins kufnun tas with hilchos lending to a nachri, so we'll get back to that. I just want to highlight some of the isurim deraisa and some of the isurim derabbanan. So a term we're going to use often is called ribis ketsutza. Ribis ketsutza means katzutz. Katzutz means prearranged, it's set in stone, and that's the Isser D'Oraisa. So the Isser D'Oraisa is when you have a loan, and Reuven is borrowing money, and he tells Shimon, he agrees, I'm going to pay you interest for this loan. At that point, there's an Isser D'Oraisa. By simply signing the document, you could have an Isser V'Leisa Simon, but when everything is paid out, that's an Isser D'Oraisa of all the six laven would go into effect. Ribis D'Oraisa. Now, it doesn't make a difference if it's a lump sum payment after 2 years, if there's interest-only payments, if there's payments, monthly payments, it wouldn't make a difference. Now, there is a difference in halacha. We'll see later on. In the shiurim, let's say a person messed up. You have situations of Bali Tshuva, or a person didn't realize that this situation was a situation of ribis. So what you could do is, in order to salvage the case, is you could have all the interest payment that was collected already changed or repurposed as principal payment. So let's say he was collecting interest payments for 10 years. You could allocate that to the principal payments. You don't have to start giving back and start the whole thing again. And there are ways to salvage the situation. But very often you have situations where you cannot salvage it. Ribis was done. There was an Isser being done. And there's nothing to do about it. Okay.
Well, what would you categorize a distribution?
So give me the case. What's the case of distribution?
A guy puts $100,000 into a real estate property, and you know he gets X amount of dollars every quarter.
Okay. So great question. So he's lending money. He's the LP. He's lending money. He lent $25,000 or $50,000 to the deal. GP buys the nursing home or the multifamily property, and he kicks out your dividend every month or every quarter. So what's happening? There's a loan and there's interest payments, dividend payments, pashtus, right? There was a loan and he's going to get the principal back, right? Hopefully he'll get the return of capital, but he's hoping for return on capital. So in a simple situation, that is a classic Isser Ribis. Now, what are people relying on? So number one, we'll get to this next week. Very often the real estate syndicator sets it up as a LLC and there's no personal recourse unless there's fraud, but there's no personal recourse on the loan to the LP. Maybe the bank requires recourse, but to the LP, there's no recourse, as people have come to understand in the past couple of years. And since there's no recourse, Moshe has a chiddush, Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, this was his chiddush, that if there's no personal guarantee, there's no loan. There's no halva. So as long as the LLC was the one that was borrowing it, there is no Isser Ribis. There are those that are machmir, and they would set it up as a heter iska, with a heter iska. And Basically, it's profit sharing. You lend me money, we are sharing in the profits. We can calculate how the profits are, but in lieu of calculating profits, we're going to settle with these the 6% dividend. That's basically what it is. So if you go with our Moshe, there's
so according to our Moshe, as I say, any two people who want to lend each other, and be very clear that if you know this is my ribbis, this is what I want. But if you decide, I'll take your word for it. If you don't, you're not going to pay, and I won't chase you for the principal. But they trust each other.
I don't know if trust. Here, non-recourse means there's no loan. There is a loan, no?
No contract. We have no contract. The whole point is that
you have an agreement with the real estate company that you're investing X amount of dollars and you're getting.
You need $1 million. I trust you. And I want to get back $1.5 million.
So that's a loan.
As long as it's on the contract, the Gemara calls you a down. Okay, but since I trust you and I know you're good for the money.
But that's a loan.
Yeah, but I'm also stipulating that if you're not going to pay me, I'm not going to go after you. I know you. We're trying to work it out. Where you need the money and I want to give it. I want to make money.
Kind of like going after the guy, a double R.
Up until that point, there is personal liability, meaning he is chayv to pay him back. Now, if he can't pay him back, he knows his friend is not going to bother him. But Cole's mom, he still has a plan on paying him back. That's a loan. Now, if you let's say you have a house, you have a similar situation with a house. You have non-recourse on the house that you could foreclose on it, but you're not going to foreclose on me. If that's the agreement from the onset, the Moshe's Hefter would kick in, and in real estate that works. If you get a non-recourse debt, even from a Jewish bank, let's say you find the Jewish bank, what's the Jewish bank? Loan Depot. Cross River's Jewish, but they have a Hefter Isker Klali. Which one?
Saffron.
Quicken Loans. They just changed their name to something else. So,
Rocket Mortgage.
Right. So let's say they also have some type of Hefter Isker Klali. Okay, we'll have to learn what they do and is it good. But let's say they gave you, it's not so common in residential, but let's say you had a commercial property and it was, let's say, only lending 60% loan to value and it's non-recourse debt. So you have to look at all the, they have some fine print in the non-recourse. But let's say it's really non-recourse. So as long as there's no recourse against the borrower, even if the borrower is a yid and it's not an LLC, but it's non-recourse from the fact that they are only going to foreclose on the house, on the property, they're not going to come after me, there will be no issue.
So without the house, just that I'll never go after you for the money. If you can't pay it, it's not enough. I need the house, you say.
I'm not sure. I would think that the fact that he's not going to come after me, that just means there's no process later on. But there's still a loan, Lechaira. No, there's still a loan. He wants the money back. There's a loan.
I'm taking a risk.
When the bank lends the syndicator money, he's not lending this. He doesn't care about the syndicator. Obviously, he wants a good track record because he doesn't want a monkey business going on. They're lending on a future revenue. That's what it is. They're not lending on the syndicator. If they are, then it's recourse debt. But they are lending on the property, on the income, on the revenue. So there's no loan. They're simply buying future revenue. That's how Rav Moshe views it. Versus it, or they're buying 60% of the value of the house. We're willing to give you money on because we know we have the house as collateral. We can foreclose on it. But I think in your case, it's a loan. We're very nice and friendly, but it's a loan. So just do a Hefter Isker. In that case, figure it out. And you can do a Hefter Isker. There's a way to, especially if it's a business, it's very easy to do a Hefter Isker. When it's personal loan, a person is consolidating debt, and his friend will give him money, but his friend's giving him 6%, a 6% interest rate, while the credit card's 28%. So in that case, there's no Isker going on. It's more difficult to put together a Hefter Isker for that. There is a way. We'll have to discuss later on how to do it in that situation. Okay, so going back to our list, we had Issa Deraisa was when it's Ribbis Katsutza. Yeah, sure.
I've always wondered. Again, this is a legal way to circumvent what we all know is awesome.
Well, Hefter Isker.
Yeah.
So we'll have to speak about it. The reality is that Isker works because you're setting it up as a business.
I know. That's my point.
You're setting it up as a business, and if he really wanted, he could. There is a process of going to Bezdin and requiring a shvuah. that the proprietor or the owner of the business would have to swear that he didn't, you know, he didn't fudge any numbers, he wasn't pushy on anything, and all the numbers are correct. And in that case, he'd have to split all the profits. And there are times, we'll have to learn this, if you know there are no profits, let's say, this is a fascinating shadow, let's say you lent money to yourself. This is not for now, but let's say you are in a real estate business, or you're a syndicator, and cash flow is tight. Now, you could do a capital call, but you don't want to ruin your reputation in the streets. So, you know what? You have deep pockets. You fund your own deal. So you do your own capital call, and now you kick back money from the business to yourself.
Yourself, right.
Let's say, now, if you ever moishes had to, maybe it works, there's no, okay, it's a funny case where you're lending money to yourself. But let's ignore the LLC heter. Let's assume there's a heter iska here. The heter iska only works because theoretically there's a way that we would split the profits and there'll be a shvua. A person can't swear to himself, right? Well, what are you going to swear? You know that you're not hiding anything from yourself. There's nothing to do. You know that there's no profits or whatever it is. So we'll get to it. But the truth is, heter iska is a halachic, has halachic rules and regulations. You're right, Rav Ari. It could be used in a way if a person is giving a private loan to someone. Perhaps there was never a good shot in that heter iska. Heter iska was done for businesses. That's the way the Chavis Yar and all the poskim that describe how to do it. It was done for businesses. Someone needed cash in order to pay his vendors to operate, and this was a way for business to survive. You were doing someone a favor. Yes, you needed a heter iska, right? But to lend money to a friend and do a heter iska for debt consolidation, I agree, it's not exactly what the point of the heter iska is, unless he has no choice. There's no other way. He has to pay his own trust fund, 6% on his own line of credit. So this is the way he could help out. So perhaps if you have to word the heter iska correctly in that case. But okay, but I definitely appreciate your question. And the Poskim will discuss this by Chametz, by Bechar. The whole concept of Mechira, and is it Harama? So that's an excellent question.
When was the first heter iska issued? When did this come about?
So if you look in the Gemara does talk about it. Chatzi Milva and Chatzi Pekadon.
Right.
So depending on how...
Somebody who the neighbor is.
Yeah. Okay, we'll get to it. Next, I'll point out that any interest, even 1%, even if you're simply following the CPI index, doesn't make a difference. If it's more of a return, then it's a problem. Let's say you arrange a gift in return, and this was set in the loan. So the lender said, I don't want any interest, just pay me back, but also get my kid into yeshiva. I'll go back to Hilcha Sheichad. Or do a favor for me, and I'll lend you the money. If that's set in the agreement, that would be an Issur D'oraisa of Ribbis Katsutza. Any even goods that are traded, and if you trade them in advance, well, trading runs to Mecca Chamemcher, but let's say it was a loan. I lent you inventory, but pay me back more inventory when you return it. So there could, that would also be an issue of Ribbis Katsutza.
Well, not just a circumstantial thing. The yeshiva is closing, they need a loan, your kid is in there. So you're giving a loan, so your kid can have where to go. You know, there is some circumstantial stuff that anyways.
It's interesting. So
the shul needs a loan, and you want to daven there. You're not going to, they're going to let you daven there regardless, but you're getting benefit because
So a shul is a better example. There's no personal recourse. There's no recourse on the shul, so that would be easy.
Oh, that's what you mean.
They could pay you interest.
Same thing with yeshivas.
No, yeah, persons. Usually. But let's say you have a friend who's getting you into school or doing you a favor. That would be a shiloh.
He's inviting you to the wedding. I don't know. You want to get married? You can have a night out to dance.
So if you make a katzutz, if you put it in agreement, that's Nisr D'oraisa. If it's taka, something that's valuable, that'll be Nisr D'oraisa. If it's not set in the agreement, so usually it's only Issur D'rabbanan, which is also a problem. One of the classic Issur D'rabbanan is Ribbis Devarim. You see this all the time. You know, Reuven just started a business. He borrowed money from the wealthy guy in shul. No interest payments. There's no heter iska. A regular loan. He lent him $200,000. Okay. All of a sudden, every Shabbos he starts saying good Shabbos to him. He never said good Shabbos to him his whole life. He didn't even know his name. Someone told him he'll lend you money. That's an Isser of Ribbis Devar.
But the Gabbai is giving him Aliyah.
Right, the Gabbai giving Aliyah. All these things are brought in Halakha.
Gets the law.
Even saying thank you, according to some person, depending on how you say the thank you. So we'll have to get to that. But that's a classic Isser Derabanan of Ribbis Devarim, where you're giving someone back something else in addition to paying back. You are also giving him favor, Shalach Manas, saying hello to him, giving him a hug. All these things are run into Isserim Derabanan. We'll talk about the Derech Mecha Chumemcher. It's very common to have two different prices, a higher price for credit. We'll talk about camp registration. Is that a problem if it's two different prices, two different tiers? It's typically only a shayla of the Rabbanan. There's no loan spoken out. It's Derech Mecha Chumemcher. There's a shayla of Ribbis Mukdemes, Ribbis Mucheres. Someone asked me the other week, he has a, we'll call it a dry cleaning business, and someone owed him money, and he said, okay, the check is in your shtender, it was $100, and I gave you a tip. So he owed him for a few weeks. So we'll discuss, is that there's no shayla of Ribbis Deraisa there, because the lender never said you have to pay me more. It's a question that will be Ribbis Derabanan. The shayla was, he was afraid that if he tells him I need a new check, he's not going to get it. Meaning, if he deposits the 115, it's going to work.
Right.
And then once he deposits it, by Ribbis Derabanan will learn there's no chiv to return it. So that was a shayla. So he waited, he got another check, deposited that one, and he sent back the old one. He ripped up the old one. That was what he did. Okay, so Ritz Hashem, over the next few weeks, we'll discuss the classic sugyos. We'll try to go in order of Shulchan Aruch just for scheduling purposes. We'll discuss credit unions. Is a person allowed to use a credit union take a loan? Maybe there's a Yiddish person who also banks at this credit union. We'll discuss the Jewish-owned banks. We'll discuss the borrowing eggs amongst
every,
the neighbors.
Every insurance policy has built into the premium. You pay it once, you pay it over time. They're all the same.
As Jewish, they have Jewish-owned companies?
Well, a lot of, some of them are. The brokerage houses are Jewish.
But you're not paying just the broker. If the agency is Jewish, you have a shayla.
The agencies are Jewish. You also have Jewish insurance companies. Yeah, to the field.
Have to discuss so that. We'll discuss. Like, okay.
And the premiums are always depending on what you pay. If you pay it all at once, it's cheaper. If you pay it over time, they also do the same thing.
Yeah, so we'll have to discuss all these halachas. Bez Hashem. Okay.
They caught it.